Welcome to Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 17th. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor at Directions Magazine. I'm joined by my colleague, Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. Our topics today is Web 2.0 mapping dead. How would we know? But first, a word from our sponsor. Digital Globe, the world leader for global commercial Earth imagery and the only geospatial content provider delivering end-to-end solutions for global imagery acquisition, access, and integration. Digital Globe's commitment to developing open systems and online access points to the world's largest library of combined high-resolution satellite and aerial imagery makes Digital Globe the preferred content provider for imagery-enabled applications within the commercial sector. Find out more about how Digital Globe can help you succeed by providing you with access to the best geospatial imagery available. Visit us at digitalglobe.com. Our topic today comes from a question raised in this past week's Very Spatial podcast. They interviewed Mark Wallace of the blog 3.D, which focuses on 3D worlds. And in discussing sort of where that blog came from, Mr. Wallace suggested that after he attended South by Southwest, the sort of tech art gathering that happens each year, he determined that Web 2.0 was sort of dead in the sense of, and I quote here, "The hipster neighborhood is dead when the Gap moves in, and thus the neighborhood becomes, quote, gentrified, unquote." And that made him think that, you know, sort of 2D mapping was dead. It was time for 3D. It was time to move on. So I want to pose a different sort of question. I want to ask, is Web 2.0 mapping dead? And if it isn't, how are we going to figure out which criteria to use such that we know when it is? And I think the first question we have to ask is, you know, what does dead mean? And we have to put that in the context of something new and cool, the hipster neighborhood being dead when you start getting the chain stores like The Gap. So how do you sort of translate that over to our little world within mapping and GIS? And I think the closest analogy for me is when the technology sort of becomes mundane and everyday and sort of technically mature. Is that a fair definition, Joe?
Technically mature. I think that's the operative phrase there. What's technically mature? Is that referred to the interface that we're using or the user? I'm not certain that we're even at a point where we're mature in either of those. We've become very comfortable with certain interfaces, and we've seen that with the Google and Microsoft. But I don't think we even scratched the surface of some of the product applications.
Okay, well, I want to think of technically mature maybe in a slightly different way, in sort of the feature-function way. And I'd suggest that we're not really technically mature in this Web 2.0 mapping space, in part because we're still doing the feature-function dance. All the big players are adding features, and then the ones who don't have those features are catching up. For example, Google's My Maps announcement last week was adding functionality that more or less Microsoft and Ask already had. So exactly what everybody has to have isn't totally agreed upon yet. And I think at some point we're going to get to a space where, yeah, there's sort of a base level of functionality you've got to have, and then hopefully there'll be some distinguishing characteristics of the different players. What I'm thinking of in particular as an analogy from the software world are sort of the big CAD players. I think you could argue that for all intents and purposes, AutoCAD and MicroStation have a core set of sort of required features. Now, one has different bells and whistles, and one maybe have a slightly different environment or a different programming language, but more or less there's a defined base that they have to have. And I think you could even make that same argument for sort of core desktop GIS, you know, sort of the basic tools that are in MapInfo Professional and ArcView, Manifold, even some of the open source products. There's some basic stuff you've got to have, and we all sort of agree on what that is. I don't think we're at that point yet.
What seems to be happening, though, is exactly the same thing that we experienced in the GIS software industry as well, which is we kept adding more and more features, and we perceived that there was this user community out there that really wanted all of these features. And what we ended up with was maybe you use 20% of these features, not the 80 other percent of the functionality that was included in there. And that's the danger. that we're facing with Web 2.0 is how much more functionality are we going to add to the visualization tools before you saturate out and nobody uses it at all. So,
right. Well, how will we know that, or how will the big players know that when they've sort of maxed it out, when they get sort of diminishing returns?
Yeah, I don't know if you can answer that question, because the GIS vendors have not figured that out either. Now, certainly right now what we have is some baseline functionality. The zoom, the pan, you've got baseline satellite imagery.
Right, you've got the ability to customize.
And add your own. You can draw and redline and store that information. I think where we're heading down is the path of, can you query? Is that where you're going to start butting up against the issue of too much functionality?
Okay, well, let me take a step back. When you say query, I mean, I'm thinking of a GIS query, find me all the something within this geography, but you're thinking of something different. Find me the data applicable to whatever question I'm asking. Is that right?
I think you have to ask yourself, what's the difference between query and just basic search? Is there a difference there, and is that something that the user will eventually want, other than just viewing information on the map?
Well, I think that users are now expecting that sort of, certainly a query, a KML search sort of query, in the sense of, don't just give me the data that comes with Google Maps as it is. I want the data about the specific topic. You know, I'm interested in tracking down this particular bird species because I want to go look at it. Give me some data about where this bird species has been found in my state. Okay, now somebody may well have created that. So in a sense, we're empowering Web 2.0 mapping users in ways that GIS professionals had to tear out their hair to either create or find data that they would then load into their GIS, a pretty painful process, at some points in the past, and then start asking the questions. So in a sense, that's sort of becoming shortcutted by the Internet and this ability to search for that sort of data. There's another
right.
way to, I think, look at this technical maturity. That has to do with standards. And we've been talking an awful lot about GORSS and KML as being sort of these core standards that are going to allow us to use data from different formats and feed it and mash it up very easily. And while we know the names of those two things, there's still that's sort of an ongoing process. GORSS was sort of put out there by a group, starting to be uptake, which is terrific, but it hasn't gone through sort of a formal process. There's now discussions about Google's KML eventually being implemented and managed by OGC. So I think we're getting to standards, but we're not quite there yet. And I think the final indicator that we're not technically mature yet, or aren't sort of feature complete yet, is we're still grappling with sort of the 3D and 3D visualization question. How do we do that, and how do we use that, and how is the data modeled, and what are the standards for that? I mean, right now there are several very different ways that's implemented across products, you know, within one company or within products between the different companies. So my general sense is we're not technically mature. We're not dead yet in the sense that we're still hip and we're still, you know, sort of a moving target. But I think those are some of the things we need to sort of look at as we try to evaluate where we are in the growth and maturity of Web 2.0 mapping.
One example that I wanted to bring up with regard to our maturity is, what are the traditional users of GIS technology doing in terms of Web 2.0? And the example I wanted to illustrate was something that was exposed this week by the New York State Transportation Department, in which they're putting real-time information up on the map and using Google Maps to display that information. So they've got roads construction, they've got their critical incident information, they've got road closures, weather alerts, traffic speed indicators, as well as the location of roadway cameras. So this is information that comes out of their enterprise database and is exposed on a Google map, whereas you would have expected this perhaps in the past to be exposed with one of the traditional GIS vendors' technology. So in a sense, what we're doing in this new era is that people are becoming much more comfortable with the interfaces that are exposed in, on some of the consumer applications like Google Maps or Microsoft Virtual Earth. But yet the traditional users are now using this because it is the more comfortable feel and the expectations to do more with it.
Well, and I think that is an indication of maturity, because certainly I think at the outset of web mapping 2.0, I don't know exactly where we put a date on that, there's a lot of sort of nervousness. We're figuring out licensing, and we're figuring out, you know, some basic technology things like how do we do mashups. You know, mashups hadn't really been defined. They sort of happened depending on, you know, which stories you listen to. So things were a bit hazy, but now clearly, I mean, if New York State Department of Transportation feels that that is the best way to distribute their information, that's a pretty big statement about their confidence in the technology. And I think we're going to continue to see sort of a divergence. I have to believe that New York State DOT and all the other state DOTs, for that matter, still back at the ranch, have a, you know, high-powered, heavily modeled, very detailed, very powerful GIS technology and data. But outside, on the other side of the wall, out in the consumer, the user, the citizenry space, that isn't necessarily the right platform with which to display it. And I had an example just this morning. There was a new site announced for one of the states, the Department of Wildlife, and it had maps of, you know, fishing and hunting and so forth. I thought I'd check out the site. Well, as soon as it started loading and I realized that I was going to have to wait around for this process to happen for me to look at the maps of where the fish and the bears and whatnot were, I just gave up as an end user. I mean, I sort of expected it to be something that was going to jump right up and I'll be able to see it. But my expectations have changed as a citizen now.
We will run into some of the same questions about what are our expectations for this interface. Will we want to query more in depth like we expected with our traditional GIS systems? Will we want more layers of information put on there to be able to go deeper than perhaps a basic visualization that we see presented by live camera feeds on a map? So it's a question that I think is yet to be answered, and I don't think we're even close to being mature at this point.
So would you go so far as to say that we're sort of doing an 80-20 in terms of the functionality that's going to be made available in the Web 2.0 mapping environment? We just don't know which 20 are going to be used?
We don't know which 20 yet, and I don't think we even know that there'll be this translation between what we expected from a GIS system into a Web 2.0 functionality. Digital Globe, the world leader for global commercial Earth imagery and the only geospatial content provider delivering end-to-end solutions for global imagery acquisition, access, and integration. Digital Globe's commitment to developing open systems and online access points to the world's largest library of combined high-resolution satellite and aerial imagery makes Digital Globe the preferred content partner for imagery-enabled applications within the commercial sector. Find out more about how Digital Globe can help you succeed by providing you with access to the best geospatial imagery available. Visit us at digitalglobe.com.
Thank you for joining us for another Directions Media podcast. We always appreciate your input. You can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. We look forward to speaking with you next week, and be sure to tell a friend.